Sunday, Monday, 20, and Thursday next week at 8 o'clock every night for the preaching of the gospel. And that will probably be the final week of the meeting. So it's been a bit of a marathon, but we really feel that God has been good to us and God has blessed us. But there's one or two folks that are still coming and showing an interest, and we would really just like to go on just that wee bit longer. And so we'll recommence again on Sunday night, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday next week at 8 o'clock for the preaching of the gospel. So we'd like to encourage you to continue to come, and if you can still encourage friends to come as well, neighbours, family, please do so. We'd love to see them, and we're really looking to go on just to continue to bless us during these meetings. Now I want to read some verses in Mark's gospel again, this time in chapter 10, Mark chapter 10. Now what we looked at last night in Mark's Gospel chapter 8, the last few verses of the chapter, we found it very challenging. Because what we really noticed in these verses was that becoming a Christian is more than just a momentary decision. It's really a lifetime commitment. And we really sought to emphasise and underline last night the demands of discipleship. The fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is really calling for men and women to come after him, to abandon everything to him, to give over their lives to him, to let him sit on the very throne room of their lives and to rule their lives, to control their lives, to manage their life. And we thought of the tremendous stringent demands that the Lord Jesus Christ makes. And in Mark chapter 10, in the verses that we're going to read tonight, we'll discover that an individual comes to the Lord Jesus. And we'll notice the manner in which he came and the reason for which he came. And we'll think of the great burden that this man had in his heart as he comes to Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ put before him the demands of discipleship. The Lord Jesus Christ really laid it on the line, the cost of following him. And we'll notice that for this man, the cost was too high. And he left the presence of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus looked at him and loved him. Maybe that's just been your experience in some of these nights gone past. Maybe that was your experience last night as you listened to the message of the gospel, as you listened to the demands of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Maybe the cost was too much for you. And even as you left that room last night, this room last night, the Lord Jesus looked on you and he loved you. And that his grace and mercy has brought you back again tonight. You know, we never ever read that this man got another opportunity to trust Christ. In all probability, this man is languishing in the depths of hell tonight. He's lost. Because the cost of following Christ was too great. And he wasn't prepared for it. He turned away. Oh, the tragedy of looking into the face of the Saviour and hearing the tender appeal of his words, and yet to weigh the whole thing up in the presence of the Lord and to say no. To turn his back upon the Lord and to go back to his worldly things. To lose his soul for eternity. How tragic. How tragic for this man. How tragic for you tonight. What shall it profit a man? That was the verse that we emphasized last night. What shall it profit a man? Suppose he gains the whole world and loses his soul. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We're going to think of a man tonight. And what he gave in exchange for his soul. The Bible tells that he was rich. A man that had great possessions, and that was his life. And that became more important than Christ. That became more important than following the Lord Jesus. And he was prepared to hold on to that rather than abandon it for a life of discipleship, a life of following Christ. And he exchanged his soul for his wealth and his riches. And tonight, in all probability, he's in hell. How sad. How sad to have an opportunity to trust the Lord Jesus, to follow him. And yet he just let it slip out of his grasp. The price was too high. He's lost. Sad for him. How much more sadder for you tonight. Some of you are sitting in the meeting tonight and you've heard the gospel night after night. There's maybe some here and you've heard it for years.
opportunity after opportunity to get right with God, to trust the Savior, and yet there's something that you're still holding on to, something that's more precious than Christ and more precious than your soul. Oh, that you would give it up to me, whatever it is that's holding you back from Christ. Oh, that you would give it up to me. Know that you would wholeheartedly tonight become a disciple, a follower of the Lord Jesus, and through following him, enter into the fullness of eternal life that he promises. Let's read from verse 17 to verse 22 of Mark 10. And when Jesus was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honour thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said to him, "One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. That's what we'll read, that's all we'll read, and we know that God will bless these words to our hearts tonight. I just want to think about three simple things tonight. I want to think of this man. And then I want to think of his missions. And then I want to think of his mistakes. Let's think of the man. If we had read in Matthew's Gospel and in Luke's Gospel, we would discover as we bring the three stories together that the Bible records three things about this man. It records the fact that he was young. And he was rich. And he was a ruler. I suppose, humanly speaking, this man had everything going for him. Everything going for him. Here he was in the very prime of life. There he was in the vitality of youth and the strength of youth and the enthusiasm of his youth. He was young. And he was rich. He had plenty of possessions. He was wealthy. He had all that his heart could desire as far as the material things of this world was concerned. And he was a ruler. He was in a position of popularity and a position of power and a position of authority in the area where he lived. Here's a man that had everything. Everything that people seek after today. Everything that people strive after today. This man had it all. He had his health. He had his wealth. He had his position in society. He had everything. But there was something missing. There was something missing. There was a lack in his life. There was an emptiness in his heart. There was something within his very breast that was dissatisfied, and he was longing for something more. You see, maybe you're in the meeting tonight, and maybe there's times you've thought, well, you know, if I was in a bit better health, then, you know, all my problems would disappear, and I would be happy. And maybe you thought, you know, if you had a few thousand pounds or a few 10,000 pounds in the bank, then everything in your life would be rosy and your life would just be complete. Maybe you thought at times, well, if I was really a successful member of this society and if I was really able to reach the top of my profession, then I would really feel happy and I would have everything that I wanted. I think here's a man that had everything. He was a man that had his youthful health. He was a man that had his riches. He was a man that had his power and authority. He had everything that the world could ask for and could offer. But there was still something missing. My friend, I want to tell you very simply tonight, it doesn't matter how much of the things of this world that you get, there'll still be something missing. And this man comes to the Lord Jesus, and he's conscious of a missing dimension in his life. He's conscious of an empty void within his heart. And he comes to the Lord Jesus and he's got only one desire. He wants to have eternal life. You see, he's got life. And I suppose as other people looked on, they might have thought he had a good life. And he had a successful life and he had a prosperous life. But he wanted a different type of life. He wanted eternal life. He wanted fullness of life. He wanted abundance of life. And maybe you're here tonight and, And maybe you're just conscious that you're just like this man. Maybe you don't have his youth, and you don't have his wealth, and you don't have his position, but you've got this emptiness within your heart. And all that you've got around you is just not enough to satisfy you. It's not enough to make you really happy and fulfilled. And there's still something missing. And maybe you're here tonight. And you're longing for that extra dimension in your life. The man, let's think of his mission. He came to Christ. He came to the right person.
You see, there was only one thing in this man's mind as he left his home that day. And that was to get to the Lord Jesus.
I praise God, he came to the right person. It was only the Lord Jesus that could fulfill that missing dimension.
It was only the Lord Jesus that could impart that abundance of life, that eternal life that his soul was desiring. It was only Christ that could meet his need.
Praise God, he came to the right person. My friend, it's only Christ that can meet your need. And if you're just come to listen to a preacher tonight, you're going to be disappointed. Because the preacher can't meet your need.
And the folks in the gospel hall, they can't meet your need. It's Christ and Christ alone that can meet the need of your heart, that can fill that empty void within your breast.
There was one occasion when the Lord Jesus Christ had ministered to a whole multitude of people, and at the end of the day they'd all deserted him. And the Lord Jesus looked in the few disciples that were left around him, and he said, "Well, are you also going to go away?" And Peter, one of the disciples, says, "Lord, to whom can we go? You're the one that has the words of eternal life. Lord, you're the answer to our need.
Lord, we're not going to desert you because, Lord, you're the one that is the life giver. Lord, you're the source of that life that we desire."
Well, my friend, I want to tell you, Christ is the source of that life that you desire tonight. He's the source of eternal life. He's the source of that abundant life that can bring satisfaction and deep-seated peace into your heart and life. He came to the right person. He came to Jesus Christ, the very author of eternal life. I notice he not only came to the right person, he came for the right reason.
You see, when this man came to the Lord Jesus, it wasn't like some of the hypocritical religious scribes and Pharisees, because they would come to the Lord Jesus Christ just to trip him up in his words. They would come to ask him trick questions. They would come to criticize what he was doing and what he was saying and where he was doing it and where he was saying it. And there was a whole host of people came to the Lord Jesus for all sorts of different reasons. Some came out of curiosity. Some came to criticize. Some came to condemn.
But this man came. This man came with a deep need in his heart, and he just longed that the Lord Jesus Christ would give him that eternal life. I wonder why you've come to the meeting tonight. I wonder why you've come tonight. You just come to listen to a fancy sermon? Have you just come to please a friend? I wonder if you come just to see if there's something that you can criticise about what's been said. I wonder if you come to mock. I wonder if you come just for some other sort of ulterior motive. Or I wonder, are you here tonight? Because you know that Christ the answer to your name. Are you really seeking him tonight? Are you really searching for the Lord? The Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. It's time to seek the Lord. My friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the answer. He's the answer to your problem today, your deep spiritual problem. He's the answer to the need of your heart. He's the one that can give you assurance of heaven for eternity. He's the one that can give you abundance of life to enjoy here and now. Christ, the answer. And I trust that you're here tonight. With no alternative, no ulterior motive, but just here. Because you're seeking him. Seeking him. He came to the right person. He came for the right reason. He came at the right time. He came while he was young. You see, there's a verse in the Old Testament in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1 that says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." You see, the best time to come to Christ is when you're young. That doesn't mean to say that those that aren't young are past it. But the best time to come to the Saviour is while you're young.
And statistics would bear out that the number of older people that get saved and come to know Jesus Christ as their Saviour and Lord are very, very few in comparison to those that come to Christ when they're young. Maybe you're young tonight. Maybe you're just in your teens tonight. Maybe you're just in your early 20s. And maybe you think you're too young to come to Christ. Maybe you think that you've a lot of things in the world that you want to... You've a lot of pleasures that you want to go into. You've a lot of sins that you want to taste and practice and go into.
My friend, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. The best time to come to the Lord Jesus is just while you're young.
Before sin gets a real grip of you. Before you become entrenched in the world and ensnared by the temptations of the wicked one. Young folks in the meeting, the best time to trust Christ is while you're young. It's now. What a privilege as a young teenager in the meeting tonight. What a privilege to listen to the gospel and hear how you can get saved. Not only your soul saved for eternity, but to hear how your life can be preserved from all the corruption and the filth and the violence and the vileness that's in the world. I praise God tonight that as a young lad of 9 years of age, I came to Christ. What a privilege, what an honour. I thank God I was preserved from all the filth that's in the world. And all the habits and all the addictions that young people get drawn into. Praise God. God preserved me from it all. Young person in the meeting tonight, the best time for you to come to the Lord is while you're young. Don't wait until you're older. And don't think you're going to wait until your deathbed. A busload of young kids left Lags Academy just yesterday. One of these young children's in eternity. Without a moment's notice. You see, we can't boast of another day, can we? You young folks can't boast of another day. You don't know whether you'll have a long life or a short life. You don't know whether you'll have next week or tomorrow. And it's not only the young folks that need to be aware of that. It's every one of us in the meeting tonight. Maybe you're no young. Maybe you're a bit older and you're still unsaved and you're still in your sins. You're still lost. Oh, my friend, listen. The best time for you to trust Christ is right now. Before you're any older. Before you're a day older. Before you're 5 minutes older. The best time to trust the Lord is now. Now's the accepted time. Now is God's day of salvation. Right now. I've told the story 100 times and I'll tell it again. There was a wise man stood before a group of young men one day and he said, I want to give you advice. He says, come to Jesus the day before you die. Listen, I want to give you that advice tonight. Trust the Lord Jesus the day before you die. And as he just paused and allowed the truth of what he'd said to sink into the minds of those young men that sat before him, one of the young guys stood up and he says, we don't know the day we'll die. He said, that's right. He says, you might die tomorrow. He says, so you just trust Christ. It doesn't matter how young you are tonight or how old you are, I want to remind you that you might die tomorrow. You better just trust Christ. You better just trust Christ. You see, I've got a lot of problems I've got to sort out before that. I've got a lot of things to attend to. I've got a lot of things to set out in order. A lot of things I want to do. I want to live my own life for a wee bit longer. My friend, don't be a fool to me. You might not have another day to sort out your problems. You might not have another few hours to enjoy your sin. God gives you now. Now is the accepted time. Right now. Right now is God's day of salvation. Oh my, or whether you're 60 in the meeting, or whether you're somewhere in between, and I don't even want to guess what age you are. But my friend, you know your age, and God knows your age, and God knows that right now, regardless of your age, right now is the time for you to seek Him, and the time for you to trust Him. Will you come to Christ tonight?
Will you come right now as a poor sinner and trust him to meet your need and to impart to you that eternal life, that life in all its abundance and fullness?
I know he's not only came for the right person and came for the right reason and came at the right time, but he came in the right manner. It says that he came running. You see, this man wasn't fooling around. You know, there was a sense of urgency, there was a sense of purpose, there was something driving him from within the very depths of his being. This was a matter that he must get settled.
I wonder, are you playing around tonight? Just playing around with your soul. Trying to play around with God. But I wonder, are you here tonight, my friend, with a deep sense of urgency? With a real sense of purpose within your heart. I wonder if you've come here tonight really determined to come to the Lord and determined to get all the problems in your life sorted and to get that life abundant in Christ. My friend, I trust there's a sense of urgency tonight. And I trust that as you're here tonight, I trust that your mind's no wandering to 101 other places and to 101 other things. You see, when this man came running to the Lord Jesus, there was only one thing in his mind. There was only one thing in his mind. Eternal life. Eternal life. Eternal life. That's my need. I've got to get it settled. Eternal life. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you're thinking about the weekend. You're thinking about your pals. And you're thinking about these problems, oh my friend, I trust that the Holy Spirit would impress upon you with a tremendous sense of urgency your need tonight, and that you would be sitting here with only one purpose and only one aim and only one desire, and that is that you would get right through to Christ and receive that life abundance that you desperately. I noticed he came in the right manner and he came with the right spirit. He knelt down. He got down and he's a ruler. Here's a man in all his wealth and all his power and all his authority, and he comes before the Lord Jesus and he kneels. The Lord Jesus was standing there in his peasant garments. The despised Nazarene. And yet this man realized he was no less than a teacher sent from God. And he bowed in his prayer. Oh my friend, I trust that you're in the meeting tonight with a sense of reverence and a sense of humility. This man didn't really realize it, as we'll see in a minute. He didn't really realize the presence of the one that he was in, who he was in. He didn't realize that Jesus was God. My friend, we want to tell you that's exactly who the Lord Jesus is tonight. He's God. And here we are this evening, and we're in his presence. I trust that within our hearts there's a sense of reverence, a sense of humility. You see, there was a man came into the temple in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, and he was a tax collector. And as he came into the presence of God, it says that he couldn't even lift his head from the ground. He just felt unworthy to even look God in the face. And there he is, and he's in the presence of God, and he's conscious of his need, and he's conscious of his sin, and he's smiting in his breast. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And there he is in deep humility. And there he is bowed in deep reverence. He's in the presence of God, and he's humbled as a sinner before him. Oh, my friend, I wonder tonight. I trust there's no proud thoughts in your heart. There's no critical spirit within you. But I trust, my friend, there's a sense of deep humility. That we're in the presence of God, the Holy God, the God of all eternity, the God of heaven, the God of glory, and we're in his presence tonight. And before him, what are we? We're just vile creatures, full of sin and iniquity. Oh, my friend, I trust that within your heart tonight, there's a sense of reverence. And a sense of humility, it was in this man. You know, we'd have looked at this man, we'd have thought, well, if there's any going to get eternal life, it's him. He's coming to the right person, he's coming at the right time, he's coming in the right manner, he's coming in the right spirit, and he's coming for the right reason. If there's anyone going to get their need met, it's this man. The tragedy was this, but he made a mistake. He made a mistake about who Christ was. He comes to the Lord Jesus and he says, "Good Master." Oh, he had an appreciation of Christ, that he was different from others. But he never had an appreciation of the fact that he was God. And the Lord Jesus says, "Listen, why do you call me good? There's none good except one, and that is God. Do you really believe that I am God? Do you believe that? Do you really believe that Jesus Christ is God manifest in flesh? Co-equal, co-eternal with the Father and with the Spirit. God! If we really believe that he was God, I tell you, my friend, we'll be bowed in our faces now. And we'll be confessing our sin today, and we'll be crying to him for mercy. Oh, my friend, that one that walked Judea's plains, the one that traversed the countryside of Palestine 2,000 years ago and was ridiculed and rejected by men and nailed on that cross, was no less than God in flesh. The mighty Creator taking the form of a creature in order to die for our sins. The wonder of it. My friend, how important is the right thoughts about Christ? And all the cults that knock on our door, oh my friend, oh the tragedy, they'll get wrong thoughts about Christ. And they'll tell you he was good, and they'll tell you he was a teacher, and they'll tell you that he was an angel, and they'll tell you 100 things. My friend, Jesus Christ is God. And you'll never receive eternal life, and you'll never be saved, and you'll never be in heaven until you get right thoughts about who Christ is. He not only had made a mistake about who Christ was or who Christ is, he made a mistake about this whole business about eternal life. He says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do? What must I do?" How presumptuous. What did he think he could do? What did he think he could do to merit eternal life? Eternal life is the very life of God. It's that life that was manifested in the Lord Jesus. And he is a mere mortal man. And he thinks he can do something to enter into it. Wasn't the first person to think that. He's not the last person. Maybe you're here tonight and you're still thinking that you can do something. My friend, just think of how preposterous that is to me. What do you think you could offer to God? What do you think you could offer to God in exchange for eternal life? What have you got for God? What is there in your life that God's interested in? What is it that you can do that God would benefit from? My friend, we're poor, vile, wretched, ruined creatures. That's all we are. And all our righteousness are as filthy rags. We can do nothing. We're bankrupt. Totally spiritually bankrupt. God's not asking us to do anything. God's wanting to whisper into our ears tonight, "It's all been done. It's all been done. Finished." Christ cried when in Calvary he died. So it's done. 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 Done is the work that saves. Once and forever. Done. What a wonder that Paul says, "Listen, it's by grace we're saved. It's by God's kindness that we're saved. And it's through faith. And it's not of works, lest any man should boast." Oh my friend, listen, forget about all your works today. Forget about doing anything or saying anything. It's all about resting by faith on the finished work of Christ on the cross. And that's when an individual enters into life in all its fullness. That's when they receive eternal life from God. It's when by faith they just rest on what Christ has done on the cross at Calvary when he died for their sins. My friend, there's nothing that you can do but just come as a poor, bankrupt sinner and rest your all for eternity on what Christ has done on the cross at Calvary. He had wrong thoughts about Christ. He had wrong thoughts about eternal life. He had wrong thoughts about himself. The Lord Jesus says, well, if you want to do something, here's what you can do. Keep the whole law. Keep all the commandments. And he says, all these have I kept from all you thought. Oh, he says, there's no problem there. He says, I've done that. He had wrong thoughts about himself. He never really saw himself as a poor, vile, wretched sinner. What about you tonight? Maybe you think the poor, vile, wretched sinners are the drug addicts and the alcoholics and the murderers. Maybe you think you're a cut above these people tonight. My friend, I want to tell you, the most self-righteous religious person in this meeting tonight is a poor, wretched, vile sinner, and I want to tell you the preacher's just the same. Preacher's just the same. And the Bible says, suppose we could keep the law and offend just in one little point, then we're just guilty of the whole lot. And you see, my friend, before God, the whole world's just guilty. There's no argument about it. There's no debate. The whole world is guilty, and that includes you and I. We're guilty before God. We're condemned under his judgment because of our sin. Oh, to have right thoughts about ourselves tonight. Poor, vile creatures. Sinners. But you know, the biggest mistake he made was simply this. His biggest mistake was not following Christ. That was his biggest mistake. My friend, that's the biggest mistake you can make there. It's good that you've come to the meeting. It's good if you've come to for the right reason. It's good if you've come in the right spirit. It's good if you've come here tonight with a sense of urgency and purpose and with a burning desire in your heart to have eternal life. But my friend, I want to tell you, all that's no enough. All that's no enough. Because that man came with all these things in his favour. My friend, he made the vital mistake of not abandoning himself and not committing himself to being a follower and disciple of Jesus. Why? Because there was something in his life that he wasn't prepared to give up. For this man, it was his riches, because that was his God, that was his idol, that's what he lived for, and that's what the Lord touched on. Maybe that's why you're not a follower of Christ tonight, because there's right now there's something in your life you're not prepared to give up. It's no riches because you maybe don't have much of that. It's maybe a relationship. It's maybe a hobby. It's maybe a habit. It's maybe a worldly pleasure. But there's just something in your life that's just your God. You just love it. You just love it. The man loved these riches. And he wasn't prepared to abandon them to be a follower of Christ. There's something in your life tonight that's keeping you back. Well, you've got so much that's going for you. You've come to all the meetings. And you've shown a spirit of reverence and humility. And your ears have been open, your heart's been open. But you're still not saved tonight. You've never yet received eternal life because there's still something that you're not prepared to give up. What is it tonight? What shall it profit a man, suppose he gains the world and loses his soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The Lord says, listen, here's the demands. Take up your cross and follow me. And we spoke last night about the cross. The cross is an instrument of death. And the man that took up that cross was saying, listen, I'm dying. I'm going out to die to sin and die to self and die to the world and live to God and God alone. That's Christianity. That's the core of it all. This man wasn't prepared for it. I wonder, are you prepared for it? Or is there still that idol in your life? That's something that you love, you cherish, and you're not prepared to give it up. To become a follower, a disciple of Christ, and to enjoy that eternal life that he gives to us, that trust him and yield it all.
Lord Jesus, God and Father, again in the quiet moments of this meeting, the end of this meeting, we just bow in thy presence. We know, our God, that the Lord Jesus told that parable that when the sower went forth to sow, there were the fowls of the air that were just encircling, our God, and they were just ready to swoop, to snatch away the good seed of the word. We remember that the Lord Jesus Christ would tell his disciples when he got them in private, as he told them the meaning of the parable, he told us that the fowl of the air was just Satan, as he would just snatch away the good seed of the word. And we know, our God, that encircling round about this hall tonight are the very powers of darkness. And they realise, our God, that the attempts of the enemy tonight is just the same as it's always been, just to snatch away the good seed. Just, our God, the very minute this meeting's finished, just to bring something else into people's minds. Just, our God, to dull the effect that the challenge of thy word has had upon hearts. We just pray, our God, that Satan would be stopped tonight in his tracks. And we do pray that the word that has been preached would linger on in the hearts of the unsaved, and that deep conviction would be wrought. And we pray that tonight, our God, that each one that is unsaved, tonight, our God, not tomorrow, but tonight, our God, before it's too late, we pray that they would get right through to the Lord Jesus, trust in him as their Saviour, and receive that eternal life, that life from above that he wants to impart to them tonight. We just pray, Father, thy blessing then upon thy word. Take glory to thy name and the salvation of every lost soul in the meeting tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Now we'll just take time to sing a verse of a hymn again. Hymn number 240. Hymn number 240. Out of Christ, without a Saviour. Oh, can it be like a ship without a rudder on a wild and stormy sea? Out of Christ, without a Saviour. Lonely and dark the way, with no light, no hope in Jesus, making bright the cheerless day. Verse 5 says, out of Christ, without a Saviour, give to him now your heart, ere the door of mercy closes and you hear his word depart. So what I mean to you, just sing the last verse in the chorus of hymn number 240, and after we've sung that, the meeting is over, and we thank you again for coming and give you an invitation to join us next week as often as you can at 8 o'clock.